Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we look to you tonight, we are so grateful for the privilege you've granted us. Lord, you promised us that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. We just want to thank you, dear Father. We recognize that this event has transpired with more blessings in disguise than what we understood. We thank you for the inventory that you are doing on our lives even now. We thank you, dear Father, that even while your servant lies down on his bed, a sermon goes forward, and we hear the call of our Father calling us together to cry out together, to hold a prayer meeting stronger than all the prayer meetings that we've experienced thus far. As we pray to you tonight, dear God, we invite your spirit and just pray that your angels will minister to our spirit and mind. Let this event bring forth blessings in greater measure than what we could have asked. Hallelujah now, Father, in advance. Hallelujah. We thank you for answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints, I just want to tell you that we're in a position at this time where we interview with God. And in this interview, we get a chance to experience God the way that he wants us to. We are as students taking a final exam. The Bible is our textbook, and for a duration of time, we have been studying and praying, and we've been taking these pretests and practice test, and we've done well with our testimonies. We testify of the power of God and things that we've seen God do. And now we're in a situation where it's not the lion, it's not the bear, but Goliath now. It's time to see God do what he do. It's time to call on God and trust him and leverage ourselves up against the testimonies of old to have courage as David did. The Bible says he ran to Goliath. While Israel trembled, many trembled, but David ran to Goliath in a time when, it didn't at all. His test and retest prepared him for the great test. We have taken a test, and here we are, in time born to faith with both hands. Is God able? We know that God is able. Is anything to the Lord? No. But now it's our turn, brothers and sisters. It's our turn to use our faith. What we've learned from Scripture, as the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. What have we metabolized from the Scripture? How do we see and understand faith at this time? Because now is a critical time where it is time to engage the promises of God and witness the power of God and trust that God is able to do what he promised that he would do. Here is our final exam. At this moment in time, there is no greater matter pending for us to plead and cry out for than the care of our brother. This situation has brought us together to test our faith. Will we put God to the test? Will we trust him through the storm? Will we give up, or will we hold on? Surely we will hold on, because God has commanded us to fear not, but only believe. And if we choose to believe, which we do, we shall see the glory of God. He made a promise to us, saints. How is your faith? Do you believe that God is able? Do you believe that what you ask God for, he will grant it? The Bible says, Matthew chapter 7, and we'll look at it. The Lord gave a promise. He said in Matthew 7 and verse 7, he said, ask and it shall be given unto you. I just don't see the word might. I don't see might there. Ask and it shall be given unto you. You shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. The next verse in verse 8 says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Hold on now, saints. Do you know, if you study this out in the Scripture, remember the Greekish woman? Remember that Syrophoenician woman? Remember when Jesus said, you know, I'm only sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When he spoke to that woman, you know, it seemed as though she didn't qualify for what she was asking for. I want to say this because some of us, if we qualify, if we qualify for what we're asking for. And he said, you know, I'm not sent but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the woman refused to let him go. The Bible says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. She was a part of that everyone that asketh. There are some who would try to qualify whether an individual has a right to approach God's throne. But I want you to know this woman who, if you will, she didn't have a green card. She wasn't qualified according to what man would call the criterion, but yet she pressed in this verse, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. As we journey forward in the study of the Word of God, as we apply what we know as our faith, it's time to understand, what is that? What is faith? The Bible tells us in the book of Acts in chapter 16 that there were two men that were praying. And these men, when they were praying at a very strange time. They were praying when earthly possessions had been taken away from them. I'm talking about Paul and Silas. Just for a moment, saints, hear the Lord. You know, when you go to jail, they take your shoestrings away from you. They take your belt away from you. They take everything from you. They give you new clothes. They don't even let you wear your clothes in jail. But Paul and Silas were in prison for the gospel's sake. But God let them go into that prison because we needed to see. He wanted us to understand what he does inside of a prison when we are in bondage, when it seems like all of our earthly support is tied up, when it seems like, you know, we don't have anything in our hand that we can work with. God wants us to understand what he can do when we're in the depths of bondage, when we're in the inner prison, when it seems that we're held fast and it just don't seem like there's no way we can access our calling or our work. But the Bible says in verse 25, the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. That's what we're doing right now. And the Bible says that it was midnight. It was the darkest hour. And Paul and Silas, the Bible says, and Paul and Silas prayed and sang unto God. I want you to know that during this time when they were praying and singing, remember, their backs had just been brutalized. They had just been punished and whipped. They were in pain. But in pain, they continued on to press on. That woman who was rejected, when Jesus said, you know, I'm not sent but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If you will, it seemed that she had gotten a letter back from a petition that she had made, and the letter says she didn't qualify, but she didn't stop there. Paul and Silas had been brutalized. They were hurting. It was midnight. And in pain, in the inner prison, they began to pray and sing. They had a time of devotion. They would praise God in their pain, in their suffering. They would praise God. And the Bible says that they sang unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Some of you on the line know that while you are praying, there are prisoners that are hearing you pray. Prisoners represent those that are in bondage, those that are in captivity, even to Satan, even the unfallen worlds, even evil angels are looking on. And guess what? There are those that are in prison that are interviewing right now, the children of God. These two men began to pray and sing unto God in the depths of their circumstance. In the darkest hour, they began to pray and cry out to God. And while they were praying and crying out to God, something happened, saints. The Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. Come on now. What kind of key do they have? What are they using? Somewhere the prophet tells us that prayer is a key in the hand of faith that unlocks heaven's storehouse. Peter knows something about people praying when he was in prison and something happened. Amen? Well, they were praying. That's what they had. You know, they could take anything from us, but they can't take our power to pray from us. They can't take our connection with God out of our mind. Hallelujah. They could take our belt. They could take our shoes or our shoestrings. They could take our clothing away from us, but they could even take our peace and beating on us. Yet still, we can find peace turning our minds back to our God. Amen. So think about it. When we look at the science of what's going on in the life of Paul and Silas, they teach us something about what to do at the midnight hour, at the darkest hour, when it hurts, when it's painful. They teach us that somebody in prison, somebody in bondage is going to hear when we pray and when we sing unto God. The Bible says while they were praying and singing, the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. God's trying to teach us on the line here tonight how to shake the foundation of the prison. And you know the prison house would be the grave. But we can shake that foundation with our prayers. We can shake that foundation with our songs of praise to God. The Bible says, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. God would have every man to be set free. At the midnight hour, at the darkest hour. And he would put this in the history of the scripture that we would learn how to go to the old places where God has shown victory before and grab on to those principles and exercise those principles in our times of distress. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Asking is an action word. Seeking is an action word, and knocking is an action word. We can pray, and we should pray. But I want you to know that when we ask God, there's some details to it that I just want to help you understand tonight, just for your footing, just so that you can get a little bit more leverage in this thrust of victory, this thrust of opportunity that God has given us. Yeah, we can strike a very high score on this test. Because we have so many examples, not just in the scripture, but even in our own life. But let's go back to the scripture, because the scripture gives us the principles of how to engage. Our life is just the confirmation that these principles are alive and that they are pending. As we journey just a little bit further, I was praying and talking with the Lord, and I asked him, Lord, how do we pray? How would you have us to approach you? And one of the things God showed me that we got to do, brothers and sisters, is that we have to qualify the prayers. There's a way to qualify the prayers. And I want to just share that with you tonight. There's a way to qualify the prayers. And God shows us that in the book of 2 Chronicles. Anyone can pray, saints. Anyone can pray. But there's something God wants us to do when we pray. And I'm going to show that to you. 2 Chronicles, we're in 2 Chronicles, and we are in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Listen what the Lord said. You know this verse. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, hear that word then will I hear from heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Then, he said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. As we look at this molecule of recovery, as we break this molecule down and look at these little atoms that make up this molecule, it's a whole blessing. God said he would hear from heaven, he would forgive their sins, and he will heal their land. We want that healing, but to get that healing, there are some prerequisites. Let's go back and look at them. He said that my people will humble themselves and pray. We definitely want to pray, and we've been praying, and praise God. Let's keep praying, but God wants us to humble ourselves, because there's something in that humility that's a prerequisite. As we humble ourselves, we establish a different condition, brothers and sisters. We condition faith differently when we humble ourselves. A humble faith, oh, I want to tell you, a humble faith is the faith. That humble faith says something different than the contrast of humility, and that's the faith of pride. The Pharisee went in the temple to pray, and he thanked God that he wasn't as other men were. You remember him. But there was a publican that came in to pray, and he had a humble prayer. And the Bible says he wouldn't even lift up his head. But he smote himself on his breast and said, "Have mercy on me, Lord, a sinner." This humble prayer was heard of the Lord, and God commended that publican. God said, if we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then will he hear from heaven and will forgive our sins and heal our land. I'm going to run to a place quickly in a book that's titled Our Father Cares. Page 115, paragraph 3, the prophet speaks to us, and notice what God tells us. Elijah was praying, and his prayer got through. He prayed 6 times, and God gave us this revelation because there was something he wanted to do. As he prayed, I'm talking about the prayer of humility. As he prayed, as he humbled himself, something happened, and I want to deal with that then. I want to deal with that then. He said, then shall I hear from heaven. I'm just adding to our prayer experience because some of us want to know how to pray. Some of us want to engage a prayer, an effective prayer, and the Bible gives us all the details. One of the details that God gives us that engages that prayer and gives it more strength is humility. Notice the experience of Elijah because he humbled himself, saints. When he humbled himself, something happened. Listen to what the Lord said. And Our Father Cares, page 115, paragraph 3, the prophet says, the servant watched while Elijah prayed. 6 times he returned from the watch, saying, there is nothing, no cloud, no sign of rain. But the prophet did not give up in discouragement. Here we are, saints, here are the people of God. You're not going to give up. I know you're not. And the prophet didn't give up, but notice what happens. But the prophet did not give up in discouragement. He kept reviewing his life. I need you to know that this man was called the man of God. And the man of God is reviewing his life. The Bible doesn't give us record of him sinning against God, but it's definitely an act of humility if he's reviewing his life. While we are praying for our leader, I want you to know God is working a revival out in our own life, in our own personal life. He's working a revival out in our heart. He's conditioning us to get ready because we'll have to press our prayers together for the great events we'll face in this life. Yes, another stepping stool into the great event, this final crisis that will hit the earth. We together again will pray. And great things will transpire, and we're getting our training. We're getting more experience here with our loved one in the clinches. The Bible says that this man, Elijah, the man of God, he began to review his life. Though there was no record of sin of his life, we still see the great man of God reviewing his life as he's praying. We, too, should review our life. Notice as we study, prophet goes on to tell us, he kept reviewing his life to see where he had failed to honor God. Let's do that, saints. It doesn't hurt nothing. God put this in scripture for us for a reason. He started searching his life. Where have I gone wrong with my God? Am I right with my God? He wasn't just going to give God any old prayer. He began to search. And I'm going to tell you, there may be some relationships that are breached. Go and fix those relationships. It's a part of humbling yourself. There may be some addictions, some pet sins. Cast them off. Break them up. Cast them out. As you begin to do this, as you examine your life, as you begin to throw away these things that these weights that so easily beset you, it's a part of humility. Reading it says he kept reviewing his life to see where he had failed to honor God. And as he searched his heart, he seemed to be less and less. Notice, saints, something's happening with Elijah. He's a praying man, but while he's praying, something's happening to him. While he's praying, his self-worth keeps descending. While he's praying, something's going wrong. He's not the man he was. He seems to be sinking down further in worthlessness, further in humility. The prophet says, as he searched his heart, he seemed to be less and less, both in his own estimation and in the sight of God. It seemed to him that he was nothing. Saints, we want to get here. We got to get here. It's a part of the conditioning. It said it seemed to him that he was nothing and that God was everything. As we confess our sins to God, saints, every time God has to wash us again, every time the blood of Christ has to be used again to wash and cleanse, we begin to see just how much heaven has had to spend, just how expensive this salvation experience has been just in washing away our sins. As God continues to spend mercy on top of mercy from the wealth of his mercies, buying us back out of transgression, buying us back out of pollution, we begin to see how much he loves us. We began to see how toxic and how filthy we've been. And as we began to see that in our own eyes we're nothing, and we see how kind God is in spending again mercy on top of mercy for us, we began to see how God is everything. The prophet says, and when he reached the point of renouncing self, while he clung to the Savior as his only strength and righteousness, then the answer came. The servant appeared, said, behold, there arise a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. The Bible says, inspiration says, then the answer came. Notice the humility. Notice how Elijah is demonstrating to us the conditions of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Elijah is showing us, how that process worked. We're looking at that promise acted out. Then the answer came. As we pray, I just want to say to you, remember what God said. Let us humble ourselves as we pray. Let us search our hearts. As we pray, investigate where we may have failed to honor God somewhere. Let's do that, because this is just one of the prerequisites. This is just a part of the criterion. Before we close, notice what the Bible tells us in the book of Mark. Strange what the Lord shows us. In Mark chapter 5, notice what the Bible says in Mark chapter 5. I just want your faith to be very strong, and I want to encourage your faith. I want you to know that this is the time when we can sing and shout hallelujah. We can be very happy. We can be comfortable as well, because that's what faith is. Faith is the demonstration of absolute trust in God. Faith is when you demonstrate your trust. Notice what we read in Mark chapter 5. Very interesting how this played out in the life of Jairus. I just want to, and you know, this is a good story, because this one, Jairus was in an emergency. His daughter was at the point of death. Remember that? Let's look at it. Verse 25, Mark chapter 5. He came to Jesus. He fell at Jesus' feet and asked for help. And the Bible says in verse 23, and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. This story is here for us, y'all. I pray thee, come, lay thy hand on her, and she may be healed. Now, this is interesting that it says, and she may be healed. I've always read this to say, and she shall be healed. Give me a moment. Let me go and check. I'm just going to open up another version for a minute to make sure that we're not missing something God wants us to have. Mark chapter 5 and verse 23. Well, says she may. And he says to the Lord, and she shall live. Now, if you go back in the same story, you're going to hear the one with the issue of blood use that word shall again. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. And the Bible says, and Jesus went with him and much besought him. And a woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered because of many physicians and spent all she had, and nothing was better but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came and pressed behind and touched his garment. Notice what she said. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. I want to tell you that when she came to touch Jesus' garments, this is another sign of answered prayer, and I just want you to see this. Both of them told Jesus what he shall do. Jairus told Jesus that if he touched his daughter, she shall be whole. Watch this. The one with the issue of blood, she came behind and said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 26, the Bible says that it says, he that passeth by and meddle with strife belonging not to him is like one that take a dog by the ears. It says, he that passeth by and meddle with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. What this means, saints, you know, when you take a dog by the ear, you speak in a language to that dog. When you pull that dog by his ears, he's going to bite you. And God is saying, when you meddle with strife that don't belong to you, you're like one that's taking a dog by the ears. He's saying that your action is communicating a message. Your action is communicating a message. Well, when this woman came and touched Jesus' garment, she was asking for healing. But it was her action that was her request. She said in her heart, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But then she began to act on it. So there was her faith and her works together, which gave her faith perfection. And the Bible says that, you know, her issue of blood was dried up. But while it was dried up and Jesus was talking with her, time was being lost. It seemed that the Messiah, the Savior, was distracted from the critical life situation of Jairus' daughter. Jairus needed Jesus to hurry up. I know there are those on the line now who are saying, Lord, move quickly. But the Bible tells us that Jesus did not hurry up. He began to look around and say, who touched my clothes? And it seemed as though his disciples were wondering about him. Lord, what do you mean? There's so many people, the multitude throng thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? The Bible says, and he looked round about to see her that had done this. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Notice as we close. And he, seeing her, said unto her, daughter, thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. That's a snapshot of faith. All she did was say in her heart, if I may, I shall. If I may, I shall. Jairus had faith as well. He said, if you come and lay your hands on her, she shall live. God said, if we ask, it shall be given. And these individuals are using that word shall, and they're speaking the language of the promise of God in Matthew 7. Notice, but the emergency changed. The Bible says in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further? Saints, I need to tell you, this is a very critical place. This point in the scripture is where true education and false education meet up. This place in the scripture, saints, is where many Christians do as they did in Jairus' day, and they turn back. Notice how Jesus handled the situation. While he yet spake, there came a ruler of the synagogue, house certain, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further? God's power is being tested. He said, if you lay your hand on her, she shall live. But now he got to lay his hand on a dead girl. Jairus could have said, you know what, based on statistics, based on how I've been educated, based on the statistics of the world, based on what the doctor said, based on how science speaks, you know this is the God who raised up Lazarus, amen? But Jairus hadn't seen that yet. That hadn't happened yet. His daughter was Lazarus. Watch this, y'all. God let this little girl die on purpose. Here was an emergency, and the Lord seemed too late. Come on now, y'all. He let this girl die on purpose. And they're telling him, trouble the master no further. So many Christians, bound by the cords of the limitations of human understanding, false education, holding them hostage away from the fulfillment of the promises of God. Faith, there come a time when we ain't leaning into our own understanding. There come a time when we got to lean to the word of God. Amen? Yes, we do. And guess what? It's in those crisis situations like now that we have to press forward, believing God gave us permission. Notice what he said to Jairus. They said, thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further? Bible says in verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the words that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Come on now. Yeah. You see, that's a different weight on the bed of that truck, y'all. That's a different weight. When Jairus' daughter died, his faith was being tried. He had told the Lord to hurry up. Come on, Lord, move now. It's time. It's critical. Lord said, no, Jairus, I need to strengthen your faith. I need to qualify your faith. I need that faith to go a little higher. There are people in 2023 that will need to understand I hold more power than just hurrying up. I don't need no light on the top of an ambulance. I don't need people to move out of the way. I don't have to rush. All life belongs to me. So he tells Jairus, he gives Jairus permission, and he gave us permission, saints. He gave all of us permission. I need to say it again to you. He gave us all permission. He said, be not afraid. This is not a time to be afraid, brothers and sisters. Faith is not afraid. You don't have to be afraid right now. No, that's not faith. Faith is the demonstration of absolute trust in God. God gave his word. It's his word. Trust him. Let him be God. Claim him as God. Sing praises. Glorify him. Lift him up as Paul and Silas did. Amen, according to his word. Lift him up. Tell him what he gonna do. Woman with the issue of blood said, but I shall. She was riding on the threads of Matthew chapter 7. I shall. Jairus said, if you could just lay your hand on her, she shall live. But now he is a bump in the road. Seems that time has tarried, and it seems that a rude awakening has come. Bad news. Worst news. Now appearing to be the very worst news. She's dead. Bible picks up right there. And the speed of the camera seems as though it goes into slow motion. The only words that come out of Jesus' mouth, the Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard the words. Notice that what they said to Jairus went into Jesus' ears. As soon as Jesus heard the words that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. He gave Floyd permission, you, all of us, permission not to be afraid. He said, look, I need you to understand. I know what the world says. I know what statistics say, but I need you to know when I promise you something, I need you to understand that when it seems that it is impossible, I need you to understand that I'm still God. Be not afraid. I didn't tell you to be afraid. And if we believe our shepherd, then guess what? Ain't no time to fear. He said, be not afraid, only believe. We got permission, y'all. We got permission to ride over the threshold of human limitation. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. That's who he is. He's going to raise us up. We're going to see those clouds open up. This is the same God. Amen. The same God who came through many times before we got to this point in the journey. We've had our lions, we've had our bears, and we have our Goliath. And he is but a midget. These sons of Anak, they are but grasshoppers. Amen. Hallelujah. Grasshoppers. The Bible says in verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And as he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the turmoil and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, notice when he comes in, this is the midnight hour, saints. Come on, we're back with Paul and Silas. Come on, can't get no darker. Can't get no darker. And it says in verse 39, and when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. They were hearing Bible. This is Jesus. The Bible tells us he never speaks his own words. What the Father tell him is what he's saying. And so scripture is coming out of the mouth of the prophet, and those that are swept up, raptured up in the counsel of the world, the ways of the world, the limits of humanity, they hear him and they begin to laugh at him. They laugh at the inspired words of Jesus. They laugh at the Father speaking through his Son, even his only Son that he gave, that we all would be freed from the prison of death. And notice in verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. Notice when they laughed at him, a separation occurred. Pay attention, saints. That's their faith. That's their faith. That's their faith in their works. They found comedy in the word of God, in the Christ speaks. He wasn't just talking in with ears. Scripture was in their ears, but mission of God, and believe it. They laughed him to scorn. They couldn't. His faith was mockery. His faith was comedy. Notice, but when he had put them all out, notice he made a separation between the doubters and the believers. When he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway, hallelujah, the Bible says, spake, and it held fast, amen. The creator, the same Genesis God, amen. Same power that spake in Genesis, let there be light. That same creator, he's right here in front of Jairus, his daughter. It's happening all over again. Darkness is upon the face of the deep. Yeah, but the Spirit moved, amen? And the Word began to speak. Christ began to speak, amen? And as he spake, he brought life forth. He says, I say unto thee, arise, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. After your victory is won, it is time to eat again. After the work of God's glory breaks the chains of bondage, it is time to run back to the Lord and begin to eat again. It's good to go back to the Word and partake again after God has worked the victory in our life. We are made whole, 360. Hindsight is 20/20. When we have gotten our blessing, like that leper who came back to Jesus, that Samaritan, it was only one that was made whole. When he came back, he digested the fullness of his blessing. He gave thanks with a loud voice. He understood where the blessing came from, and he was made whole. This whole experience is that we might be made whole. We share this experience together. If one member be afflicted, the entire body is afflicted. We are all feeling the shock waves of one of our members. But is anything too hard for the Lord? Never. He gave us permission. Ask and you shall. Seek and you shall. Knock and it shall. Their prerequisites, if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. We're in the advantage seat, brothers and sisters. In a crisis, it's only time to demonstrate your Bible. Eat your Bible. Digest the promise and walk in it. Walk with courage, though. Do what God told you. Humble yourself. Confess your sins and faults and whatever God show you. Ask him for the strength to work it out. Ask him to take it from you if you don't have the strength, but the fight. The Greekish woman pressed on. She was rejected time after time. We don't give bread to dogs. Even appearing to be humiliated, she did not let go. She said, truth, Lord. His word was truth even when it hurt. His word was truth even when she was humiliated and called a dog. She said, truth, Lord. Let the word of God be truth. Even if they say, trouble not the master any further, let the word of God be truth. Let it be truth, even when it doesn't seem that it's falling in your favor. Let it be truth. Call it truth, and like Paul and Silas, celebrate. Celebrate the goodness of God. Celebrate his power. Celebrate the victory as you sing praises to him. You are glorifying him in advance. Hallelujah. That is faith. And as you demonstrate your faith, the blessing that comes out of it all is that all the prison house will be shaken up and many who are bound will be set free. Father, as we close tonight, we desire that you shake the foundations of the prison house of death. We know that nothing is too hard for you, Master. We do apologize, Father, for where we have misstepped. As we pray, it seems that, yes, surely, we are becoming less and less in our own sight. This health message we've had for a long time, we have not kept it as we should have, Father. But as we confess our sins and our faults, Lord, forgive us for the opportunities we've neglected. But please let the blood of Christ cover our iniquities, our sins, and transgression, and cover that breach, Heavenly Father, with the body of our Lord Jesus. Let it be the rebar that helped build the bridge of success. Let us free from the separation of your promises from our life. As we tear up the roof tonight, dear Father, we lay before you our brother, the dear God, united together in love to you. And he has brought us to again, not in his strength, but by your spirit. As we have gathered, dear God, let our Bible live. Let it live in our bones. Let it live in our tissue, in our mind, in our spirit, in our soul. Let it live in our lips. Let it live on the table of our heart. Help us to digest this revival experience. We will never be the same. Thank you now for answering our prayers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my dear brother, for allowing the Lord to use you in such a mighty way tonight to bring the word of God to us that we truly needed to hear tonight. This has truly been a blessing and encouraged each and every one of our hearts tonight. And we truly can see that God has trusted Pastor Lewis to be in this condition so that our faith being tried, that we will have an opportunity to allow God to strengthen our faith for what is about to hit this world by an overwhelming surprise. Praise God, on whom all blessings flow. Jesus Christ truly is the resurrection and the life. Amen and amen. And someone else came on the line, and you can go ahead and pray. And afterwards, Brother Thorne, if you can give us a final prayer, we appreciate that. Thank you.